Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon, Australia, the world, Melbourne. This is Joy 94.9. I'm Greg, and I'm sitting here with Jodie Wilmer.
Hello, Greg. How are you today?
In the Detour Studios, I'm fine. I'm fabulous. It's grand final day in Victoria. This is the one day of the year, isn't it, Jodie?
Well, allegedly, there's some major sporting activity that sort of I don't really comprehend. But, you know, well done to everybody who's interested in Australian football.
Do you know, it's huge. I came from Canberra to Melbourne via Sydney last night because I'd missed a plane and, well, the plane was cancelled. And we ended up jumping through different states to get here. And everywhere I went, people were... loading up their Collingwood or their Geelong beanies and scarves, and they were hopping on planes and coming en route to Melbourne. And it's we had pink magpies on the flight from Sydney down to Melbourne. That just everyone was there. It was huge.
It is huge.
if you like football.
If you like football, and in fact, I'm really not that much into it. But I hope everybody enjoys it. And it's certainly good for the tourism industry and people coming and going and travelling and spending their money doing fabulous things. So have a great time, everyone.
And the last thing we'll say about football is if you want to listen to it, tune in to Joy 94.9 at 2 p.m. today, 2 hours from now, after Cravings. And you can indulge for the last few minutes of the football season. Thank goodness.
Now, if you've just tuned in, this is the Detours Travel Show. It's about 6 minutes past 12. And we'd love to hear from you. You can SMS us 0427JOY949 or you can email onair@joy.org.au. We love all things travel. And I understand, Greg, you've been doing a bit of travel just recently.
Just a little bit, yes, as you have. I think last week, Jodie, we sent a cheerio to you up in Sydney. What were you doing in Sydney?
I was having a festival of fun and having back-to-back catch-ups with friends and family, and I really, really enjoyed it. It was a great time to be a tourist. It was 27 degrees on Friday last week, so I managed to get a great Manly ferry trip in with a friend of mine who I met in India, who's returned to Sydney.
Oh, awesome. Well, up in Canberra, I had the same thing during the week. It was sunny one moment, and then it was rainy and squally the next moment. Then it was sunny again. I thought I was home in Melbourne. It was fabulous. And lightning at night. But Canberra is a beautiful place, the national capital. Heaps of stuff on this week. We had, if you're into health promotion and health education, there was the Australian Sexual Health Conference around HIV and AIDS and stuff like that. Very interesting stuff. There were people in from the United Nations that I was meeting with, and people from International Planned Parenting Federation in Kuala Lumpur and London. So it was a couple of days of catching up with people from around the world.
Sounds fantastic.
Great
Greg.
Fun. And they're all coming to Melbourne. And we've got a couple of them. Stay tuned. Over the next few months, we'll come on Detours here on Joy 94.9.
Fantastic. I'll look forward to that. And in a few minutes, we're going to introduce our guests. But I just want to cover off on some things that have been in the news this week about travel and tourism around the globe. Now, just recently in the Australian papers, the Australian government were explaining that, in fact, there's a lot of Australians who get into trouble when they travel overseas, and they get into really tricky, hairy situations. Apparently, there's about 1,500 Australian citizens a day who need consular assistance whilst they're abroad. And you sort of ask yourself, why is it that people get themselves into really tricky situations? What advice, Greg, would you give to people listening so that they keep safe?
Well, right at the start, register on smarttraveller.gov.au, get your name down so they know where you're going, your itineraries, and have your contacts and your points back at home in case you disappear and fall off the map and your relatives and friends, loved ones become the first people to know you're not where you should be. And the second one is work out what the local laws and customs are. I mean, just because in our community, gay and lesbian community, just because here in Australia it's open and free, free and you can't be discriminated against because of your sexuality. That is not the case wherever you travel. And sometimes the niceties and the learnings we have here are 100 or 200 years behind in countries you go to. So get the lay of the land, check the lay of the land.
I think that's good advice, Craig. And another thing that was in the news just recently was one of the stars from the L Words, the series, the gay and lesbian series, was in trouble and actually booted off an airline in the US for having a pash with her girlfriend.
Now, look, hang on. There's always two sides to a story. Now, I hear it was far more than just a pash.
Well, I'm reporting it as I read it.
So, look, if you're gay or straight and you're going to have I'm not saying that they did from the L Word, but just say you're going to get up close personal, seat wetting type heavy petting, you don't want to actually do that in public. I don't think that's something for the bedroom. Or get a room,
Exactly. We'll be with you right up to 1 o'clock here on Joy. And a special thank you and acknowledgement to the Saturday Magazine team. Well done for great news and information. And a special congrats as well for more than... How long service... Oh, I've just forgotten her name.
Leanne Renfrey.
Leanne, thank you.
Renfrey. That's, Saturday Magazine changes. New incarnation starts next week. And thank you, Tim Lennox, news director, for heading that as producer for the last 2 years almost. And SatMag is probably in its 13th year as well, Joe. It's a bit like Detours. It's an icon of Joy. And we're looking for great things under new producer Seamus Huff.
Very good. Now, joining us now here in the studio, we're delighted to introduce to you two gentlemen who have been around a bit in the hotel concierge industry and tourism. I'd like to introduce to and welcome to the studio, we have Peter McBreety, who is the media and PR liaison for Le Clair d'Or, and also Jonas Lesoff, who's an international honorary member. Welcome to the studio.
Hi.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Now, this isn't the first time we've had Le Clair d'Or in our studio, and we're very graced by having you here, gentlemen. What actually is Le Clair d'Or? What does it mean?
Le Clair d'Or, literally translated, is the Keys of Gold, or better known overseas and locally as the Golden Keys. You'll often see them in movies and actually in real hotels on the lapels of the concierges. The theory, dating back to the late 20s with Ferdinand Gillette, who started it in France, is that it indicates the ability of the people wearing them to open doors to their guests. In practice, that works locally. But also, if you're part of Le Clair d'Or, it means we can call up or email an associate overseas. I know one of our associates, Michael, up the Observatory in Sydney, once was able to get one of his guests' opera tickets to a sold-out opera in Paris by ringing one of the associates that he knew over there. And needless to say, guests tend to appreciate that. But that's generally what we're there for. It's sort of a local and global network to facilitate the exchange of information and assisting each other.
I think that's fabulous. And the length of time, I mean, this isn't something that's sprung up overnight.
No. It's quite funny because it's very well known in Europe. It originated in Paris, and then Ferdinand Gillette and his associates decided to make it European-wide. Then they decided to make it international. And now it's very widely spread, and they have annual congresses each year where they meet up and get to know each other. The last one was just in Canada. Next year's in London before the Olympics. And we're very happy that the one in 2013 will actually be in New Zealand. And we did have one in Australia in 1995 up in Sydney. So it gets the people to meet each other. It's almost like the way the UN hopefully could be, where they all get together in a benevolent spirit of friendliness, trade information and hospitality stories and useful contacts. And it works really well in practice.
And I imagine from people who are thinking about career options in the industry of tourism and hospitality, they're probably not aware of the significant role that concierges play in terms of, it's not just a meeting and greeting function, it's actually opening the goodwill and hospitality to help people enjoy their trip no matter what their needs are. Would you agree?
The Clair d'Or logo is in service through friendship, which is... It's a great network of friends, essentially, and I think that's what we continue to foster in Melbourne, certainly.
And I think Jody, it's true what you say. You can have anybody smile at someone and say, "Would you like fries with that?" That doesn't require a great skill level. I think to be a good concierge, as against just a person, a lobby ambassador, You need to be in a location, ideally for a little while, to get to know the suppliers and the people around, but also to know your guests. I have regular guests, for example, from Sydney that rang me over the last few days that are coming down. They just come down twice a year. But these ladies love good food. They like to know what's new in town. And they contacted me to make a booking at a restaurant that's a bit difficult to get into, but also just to say, is there something we haven't tried? And I think hospitality being what it is, it's a very fluid industry. People walk into a hotel, 6 months later, there's different staff there. But one little rock of consistency tends to be the concierge.
What impassioned you and both of you, in fact, to become concierges, to make the jump and become people that had the twin keys on your lapels?
Well, in my case, I'd sort of had a varied start. I started a science degree, dropped out, went to Europe, came back, studied law, dropped out, and it became apparent that people keep interrupting me. Whereas on the concierge desk, they tend not to because they let you finish because you're holding their room key in one hand and a recommendation in the other. So they let you get to the end of your stories. But I like the fact that we're one role within hotels and general business that actually is allowed the time to interact with people and get to know them and to be ourselves. We have less of the sort of branding upon us that often is applied with various hotels and businesses, and we're actually encouraged to interact with people as people. And I think as people go from one city to another country, they often find it refreshing to be able to talk to a person rather than a sort of faceless edifice.
Do you know, I've got to share a little tale, and we'll come back. I want to find out about your history as well, too. I'll give you a little tale. Back in the early, back a long time ago with the Labor Prime Minister that I then worked for, he was staying at a particular hotel in Melbourne, and I got all the kudos for the work the concierge did in lining up everything. I have to confess that. I feel like I'm in front of the bishop or the pope, and I've got to confess my sins.
You're absolved, my son.
But you guys were absolutely brilliant in dealing everything that I was asked to deliver.
See, what you're really exhibiting, though, Greg, is about knowing who to talk to. You don't need to know everything yourself, but you need to know who to network with, who knows.
Exactly right. And forever I will hold concierges in high esteem.
It's funny you say that, because I did have someone who should remain nameless, but an ex-president came in to stay with us some years ago, and one of the questions the Secret Service asked us was who come out in advance. If the person in question were to want to buy his partner and daughter a present indicative of Australia, where should they go? And somehow I doubt when the present was presented that it was here. This is from the concierge.
But you had an input into that.
I like to think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in a few minutes, we'll hear about Jonas's journey into the tourism and hospitality industry. From 1 o'clock today, it's footy fun for everyone as Joy kicks off October with the annual AFL Grand Final live broadcast at the GH. Let your footy freak come out, scream and shout while you watch the AFL Grand Final live on the big screen at the GH today with Joy from 1 p.m. And then tonight at 9 p.m, the Full Catastrophe stages its fourth annual Grand Final special. Every team gets a song as well as the umpires, and there's a brass band at halftime. Sounds fabulous. From the people who brought you the sports results with totally inappropriate music, it's a leather egg celebration like no other. To find out who else is coming up at Joy, including your chance to win a trip for two to Tasmania from Joy sponsor Taz Pride, or $1,000 on air or online sponsorship package, you can go to joy.org.au and check it all out.
And you can listen to us online, joy.org.au. We'll be up on podcast as soon as the show finishes this afternoon. You're on Joy 94.9 on Detours.
You can have your say. SMS 0427 Joy 949.
Joy 94.9.
In case you didn't know, that was Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick here on Joy 94.9 on Detours. That's by Ian Jury and the Blockheads. I must confess, I was brought back again into the past to Caribbean Rollerama with that music.
My God, I've forgotten about that.
I know. I was actually very good at roller skating, and I wore the little skirt with the little matching undies and the boot covers, and yeah, it's hard to believe now, but it really did happen.
And that voice is Jodie Wilmer, all not just dressed in retro, but she's here in retro on Detours, and I'm Greek. Our guests today are Peter McBrearty and Jonas Lesueff, which is fantastic. Lesueff is an interesting name. Where does it come from, Jonas? What's your background in concierges?
Well, as much as I see myself as a moonlight as a concierge, I am in specifically the opal industry. My family came out to Australia in around about 1838 to establish the Melbourne Zoo. Went up to Sydney to establish the Taronga Zoo, and then the Adelaide and Perth Zoo. So we have a fairly interesting history.
Story.
Yes, that's right. We had a reptile park. My somewhat interesting father has spent some time in pits of deadly snakes and spiders, set a number of world records a few decades ago, and then did the same thing last December for 3 weeks.
Well, that clearly positions you well to be a concierge.
Absolutely, that's right. So he's always enjoyed a little bit of limelight, broke his own world record, actually, raised some money through the for Variety Club, about $20,000, I think, by living with 400 redbacks. And
that's my idea of hell, but good,
yes,
on him.
That's right.
So, Jonas, you became recently an international honorary member of Le Clé d'Or, which is an international organisation of concierges and allied industries. So in what way were your contributions recognised, and why is it that you were given this honour?
Personally, my business has been working closely with concierge for probably 20 years now, and I've been in the business for about 18 years, and certainly working very closely with the organisation. As much as it benefits, we have a good business relationship. I also do it because I love the industry. I love the concierge industry. And as I said, I often see myself as a concierge as well as an opal, representative as well, which is good. So I've been doing it for a long time. I get involved in a lot of the events, certainly the concierge ball, which is coming up in November, and the golf day, which is always a good fun event to get involved in.
It sounds really fun, like there's a lot behind it. We've got a message that's come in from a young man that works in one of Melbourne's elite hotels, and he has a concierge by the name of Pablo. Tell us about Pablo.
Pablo is, a concierge we definitely know well and hope to see in Le Clé d'Or before too long. And he recently underwent a full Shinto wedding in Japan to his lovely wife, Shiori. They worked over in Western Australia and then came over a year or so back. And Pablo swiftly impressed himself on the local scene as the dark Latin lover type. I don't know that his wife would want him described that way, but he's definitely got a lot of character and a big soft spot for fine Guatemalan rum.
So that just tells us that there's a range of characters, you two gentlemen and other people that are and choose to be concierges, and that's your profession, becomes your profession. But it also shows that not everyone's part of the Clé d'Or. So how do you encourage people to all sign up and become concierges in your association?
To actually belong to the group, you need to be recommended by two existing members. You have to have worked as a chief concierge for at least 3 years in a 4 or 5 star hotel, or have worked under a Le Clé d'Or member. You also need trade references. They do put you through a pretty extensive interview process too, and I must throw myself on the mercy of the court. The first time I went up there, I failed abysmally up in Sydney.
Well, you were just having a practice run.
Well, it was a good excuse for a free trip up to this, which I hope my boss, who's now in London, doesn't hear.
Well, you can listen online at joy.org.au.
I'm
hopefully
pretty
sure, he is.
Pretty sure, it was a she, actually.
Oh, she, yeah, very good.
My old manager, Katie, was very good friends with the founding member of Le Clé d'Or here, Tony Facciolo, who came over from Italy and was a completely stereotypical, suave, sophisticated European concierge who seemed to be able to just swan through doors to sold-out restaurants and theatres and things. And she actually went up to his funeral up in Sydney because she liked him so much. His technique for training me was largely sitting up in our bar suggesting I should come up for a Chardonnay, which was very Italian, but would have led to me being unemployed fairly quickly.
So that role you have, I mean, it's you have to aspire to it, you have to actually attain it, you actually have to have the evidence to do it. Is that then something that you can be leaders amongst people that work in hospitality and hotels? Is it something that you can mentor other people to have those qualities and those skills?
Often in the hotels, the concierge department, and in many hotels it'll be adjacent. For example, the porters, in mine it's not, we're on separate levels, but they will often ask us. I know, for example, at my property they do ask us to come into the staff inductions and give a talk to incoming staff about what the role entails, and to encourage them to come and talk to us if they need any information or advice. And often I'll often get a call from housekeeping saying that a guest has asked them about something and could I get in touch with them. Although sometimes people come up from housekeeping or portering or even the bar or restaurant and just say, I'm getting inquiries about this, or is this happening in the city, or what's happening for the Melbourne Festival. It's great because it fosters sort of cross-departmental communication.
That's absolutely imperative, isn't it? I mean, having worked in the tourism industry for many years and now running a non-profit in both the tourism and the transport industry, sometimes the most bizarre questions come up that you scratch your head and you think, firstly, I've never heard of it. Secondly, gosh, how are we going to answer it? And what sort of resources do you both use in your respective roles to find the answers and info?
I suppose, from my point of view, being a semi-outsider, one thing that amazes me about Le Clé d'Or and the general concierge community, certainly in Melbourne and worldwide, is the amount of interaction they have with each other. If a guest has a request and that particular concierge can't help out, they know that they can contact any other concierge, certainly in Melbourne, Australia, or internationally, for assistance. And I think that's, you know, I don't think there's any other industry. I think it's completely unique like that. And
so, if you're travelling, you know, you're doing Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, or you know, a particular itinerary, you can actually contact ahead.
We actually, it's funny you say that. We've got we have a regular American tour groups that come through, and their itinerary often goes Melbourne, Ayers Rock, Sydney. We've had thus far my trusty offsider Ben, and a big hello to him because he'll be at the desk doing it again today.
Well done.
Someone's going to do it.
Short straw, short concierge. Ben had a plethora of these guests, and they speak to each other. He arranged for tickets to the Sydney Opera House for La Boheme while they're staying up there. And that one lady then spoke to another four or five. And fortunately, he was able to contact two of our members. Gary Lee up in Sydney at one of the properties, who was kind enough to take repeated calls from Ben and then get onto his contacts to arrange opera tickets for the guests. But the guests loved it because it was pretty much nearly sold out already, and by the time they got up there later in October, it would have been almost impossible to get tickets.
Well, I'm sure all our listeners can also appreciate, you know, when you're on the go, often the logistics of trying to work out where you go and how you organise these things are difficult. And if you don't have internet access and you don't necessarily want to go to an internet cafe, you actually want to go out and explore the city you've come to enjoy. So having someone in the industry who can help find that out is really fantastic.
And at the moment, obviously, with a major sporting event like today, it's it's amazing the networking that goes on with even just grand final tickets,
which
today
actually cross brands, which is one of the strengths. Like that's happened to me with the Grand Prix before. We had a Japanese guest whose travel agent had unfortunately made an error and cancelled his VIP paddock tickets, and he was pretty much going berserk because he was a big and his poor wife was there looking very upset, and a concierge who wasn't a member of the Clé d'Or but again I hope soon will be was kind enough to actually obtain two tickets that were his own ones had been offered to him and help us replace this for the guest.
Now that voice is Peter McBrearity, and he's here with Jonas Lesweff, and you're on Detours Joy 94.9 talking about Le Clé d'Or concierges Australia and internationally.
Catch all your favourite Joy friends this weekend.
Joy 94.9.
More diversity over the weekend than any other radio station.
Joy 94.9. Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
And you sure are. This is Detours with Jody and Greg here on Joy 94.9. And we are delighted to be with you today. And you can listen online, if you like, on www.joy.org.au/listen live.
You can also listen if you have one of those iThingies. You can do it on that particular proprietary band through our Joy app. You can also jump off to the Android system and get a tune-in radio app from Android if you're part of that burgeoning number of people that don't want to go the corporate way with the other player.
Exactly.
And going, yay, in the studio is Peter McBrearty and also Jonas LeSwift, who I think are a bit of aficionados for technology.
They sure are. And, of course, if you're listening from anywhere around the world, a special good morning and I hope you're well enjoying the Detour Show. That track before was Park Life by Blur here on Joy 94.9. Now, Jonas and Peter, the concierge industry or even indeed the hospitality and tourism industry doesn't necessarily have what I would call a gender balance in all roles within this sector. What's your view on that?
I think within hotels, it would be fair to say that there probably is a gender balance. I know my first managing director not the one that hired me, that was a he, but the one that fostered our subsequent development in concierge, Katie, was actually a female, and she's actually gone on to manage the English and American properties, and hopefully I hope to see her next year when I'm over in England. Within the hotels, that's true, and they encourage, to be honest, I think they're really more ability-focused rather than gender-based, whereas when I worked in finance, it was slightly different. But within concierge, you would definitely in Australia notice there's more males than females. That, as far as I'd be saying, isn't because of a preference that way, and over in Europe, and it's far more evenly balanced. Only in my own experience, I've found that perhaps the girls are more capable than we are. And the ones that I've hired have tended to then decide they want to go off up the management scale, much to my chagrin, or have understandably gone off to have a family and then come back and are still immensely successful, but not in concierge. So it's quite sad because we try to train people and then they decide that they can go even further off at a tangent.
So what do you get wrong? What actually, why can't you...
Yeah, why did you stuff that up?
Why can't you attract them? What is it that you'd have to do differently to be able to get them to stick?
Well, maybe they have a lower tolerance for me being highly irritating, but it's... I'm honestly not sure. It's a question that's come up. We've got our Queensland State Delegate, Dorothea, is obviously a girl, and Amanda over in South Australia, the State Delegate's female. But it just doesn't seem that within the hotels that for some reason, and I'm honestly at a loss to wonder what it is, that we don't we have a lot of female employees in every other area of the hotels, sales, banqueting, the front office, but not concierge.
Well, here's a thought. Jody and I, we could take a couple of weeks' leave from our jobs and we could come and do a research project, suitably paid, of course, from the Clare Door. Of course, we'd accept payment, wouldn't we, Jody?
Well, we would declare it.
We would declare it, but we'd accept it. But we'd come and do a research project about interviewing people around Australia that are concierges about how to best encourage women to be part of your elite association.
The number is, in my experience in the industry, the number has increased, but from a minute percentage to a small percentage of female. And, yeah, certainly what Peter was saying is that the fact that they'll often progress very quickly to higher roles in the hotel
and move on,
that's happened, recently as well.
So once people move into higher roles in hotels, the opportunity to mentor perhaps isn't there anymore, is it? People have got different responsibilities and interests that are consuming. High level motel management must be totally consuming.
Sorry. It varies. I've found to a certain degree, obviously, the time demands on them probably do affect it that way. But often people that have been good in the concierge role, and we have one girl, Emma, that works part-time with us, who used to be a concierge with me, went off and had a family, and she had previously progressed up in the hotel after concierge. But she still innately ends up training people, even though it's not a designated role. I don't think she can help herself.
So how, what are some of the challenges in terms of retention of staff in the hospitality industry, or indeed in the concierge industry? Because from what I understand, there's some fraught issues.
I think within hospitality overall, one of the largest problems is the hours. It doesn't bother me because I'm single and I actually quite like shift work. I've worked in offices and 9 to 5 doesn't really work for me, but I know if someone has a partner that's in a more conventional job, it's the same as being in the army or the police or whatever. If you're not in the life as such, it can be really challenging and put strains on the relationship. Financial aspects do come into it. I don't think, you know, sometimes people will have offers from extraneous, be they the corporate sector or government jobs or going into other associated tourism industries. People often go out, and it's it does lead to a fairly fluid dynamic.
So Peter McBrady and James Lesueur from Le Clay d'Or, what would you do to help you sustain that relationship and still be concierge? What do you guys do?
Jonas?
I think this one's up to you.
Oh, there's the handball.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if I was, you know, and I subtly try to refer to this when writing about it in magazines, I'd probably say to the general managers and managing directors and hotel chains out there, pay us bucket loads of money, and we'll stay. We'll stay forever. That in terms of the hours, that's a more problematic thing because the nature of hospitality means you need to be available to help guests. Guests don't fly in between 9 and 5.
No, it's a 24/7 industry, isn't it?
You definitely know that.
Oh, well, I was just reflecting actually just yesterday. I had a call on my mobile at about 7 a.m. from an associate of mine within the non-profit sector asking some questions about some help that they needed while they're in Sydney, and asked if there was a traveller's aid equivalent. And, you know, they're in a really difficult situation and a very personal situation. It wasn't here in their professional capacity. But the jobs we often do aren't 9 to 5, and the needs of our community aren't 9 to 5, whether it's in a paid or an unpaid role. And certainly here at Joy, I mean, there are over 200 volunteers who dedicate their time 24/7 to keep us on air and do it willingly and really well. So I think that's sort of inspiring, I think.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle, I think. In my business, I deal with a lot of the big rock bands that come in and the road crew. Same thing. It's a lifestyle. You don't get into it, you know, thinking that it's a 9 to 5, and it, you know, and but it's the enjoyment factor. That's the
That's something you can't put a value on. And as I said, I was studying law at one stage, and that may have been financially more rewarding, but I've got to say, spiritually, without getting all esoteric, I actually enjoy coming to work and not knowing what's going to be thrown at me. You know, it's like hospitality Russian roulette. Someone walks up to you and you don't know whether they've left their prosthetic leg in the Ukraine or whether they want a ticket to Love Never Dies or what. But it's fantastic, and you get such a great chance to interact with them, and also I got to meet John Cleese, so it's great.
So how did you get the prosthetic leg back?
Hasn't happened yet.
But you've got a great international network, and so you know who to call.
Yeah, so I call the prosthetic leg relocation network of the Le Clay d'Or in Ukraine.
We'll be with you right up to 1 o'clock here on Detours on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg. If you've just tuned in, we're talking about Le Clay d'Or, which is an international organisation for concierge. What does it mean? Well, I had to get someone to help translate. Golden keys. Or the keys of gold.
And if you have any questions, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or +61 427 Joy 949 from overseas.
And we're speaking with Peter McBrutti and Jonas Lesef about Le Clay d'Or. Now, one of the things I did want to ask you, particularly Jonas, was what advice would you give for people who are listening who want to get into the tourism and hospitality industries?
I think, as I said before, it's you certainly have to be a particular type of person, probably not a shy, retiring type of person. That's an interesting question.
That's why I asked it.
Thank you very much.
can come back to you if you want.
I think as I personally, I fell into it through family, but I've learned to enjoy every aspect of it. And I think it's one of the major industries, obviously, in Australia. So, I'm still not answering the question very well.
No, no, that's okay. But one thing I will ask you in terms of enjoyment, the networking within the industry is, I think, one of the most incredible attributes, because it's not networking in a superficial hand over some business cards and work the room. I mean, there are enduring friendships. When I reflect on my career in the industry and the events that the concierge ball and the golf days, they're not just to sort of come together and drink a lot, are they?
There's certainly a strong community and charity aspect, and there has been. I've been to every concierge ball that
I think this is the 16th.
16th ball. Yeah. I haven't missed one yet. And it's certainly every ball and every golf day, the charity the charity aspect is very strong. In more recent years, we've done we've been working with Bailey House.
Yeah.
Which has been can you talk about Bailey House?
Bailey House is a service supporting the intellectually disabled and their families, and they do an amazing job. We went out there the first time we were presenting the charity check, and my father used to work with the children's cottages, and obviously with decentralisation of the services, it's more and more important because it keeps falling back on the parents who have to care for people 24/7. And again, through the networking, it was actually one of our suppliers in a formal wear thing who'd had a son there who unfortunately since passed away, who put us onto it and said what they'd done for them. And it's wonderful. And to be fair, the people that attend the balls and things every year donate more and more to it. And also people donate prizes and things, which is really good of them. So it's a success.
Do you know, I think something like this has to give people permission to be generous, and I think we're all good, and we're actually all, you know, think about other people deep within, but we need permission, and we need to see the people around us share those values, and that gives us permission. So perhaps that's what happens with Le Clos d'Or. For your sector, turn it back on the sector, when one concierge does his job well, it percolates to all the other concierges, and that builds that society or that fraternity or that that group of people that all share the same values in assisting people in tourism.
And Peter, I'll direct this question to you. We've just had an SMS from Kat from Greensboro, Melbourne, Australia, who says she's female, she's 9 years strong in the professional varied hospitality experience, and she'd love to get her foot into the concierge role, and she's finding it hard to get a foot in the door in the hotels. Have you got any suggestions?
If you're able to get into a hotel, and in my case, I just started as a porter when I'd come back from Europe, and fortunately was lucky enough to have both the concierges resign within 6 months.
Oh, so fabulous.
It wasn't talent, it was luck, and the dodgy stuff I put in their lunch. But I'd probably suggest to Kat, if you're able to get into a five-star hotel first, and they often are looking for, even if you just start as a porter, even if it's a sideways or backward step initially, they really do recognise, or at least I know mine does, that there's a real shortage of good people that have common sense and good communication skills. And if you let them know when you're interviewed that ultimately that's your path that you'd like to go to, and speak to the concierge guys at your property, even if look, we do advertisements. I put them up on the website with Andrew Natoli, our webmaster, who also deserves a big shout out for the bull because he's doing the major legwork there. We put up advertisements for concierge positions. We've even put one up in Bali. So keep an eye on the website and contact the guys at your property.
Yeah, we had a messenger ask, how does one get tickets to the concierge ball? And
wow.
And also, who designed the awesome posters?
Well, hello, Andrew. that message will probably be from Andrew Natoli at the Sofitel, who does deserve... I've stepped back from the ball this year, and Andrew is doing the major lifting, and he's our graphics guru. He did the invites last year, and his lovely girlfriend, Michaela, who's a graphic artist, happily... Michaela. He's the one that did the awesome invites, Andy. That was very subtle. But you can contact Andrew at the Sofitel or via our website, and he'd be happy to help you out with tickets. And it's down at the Seabull overlooking the lake, so it should be fantastic.
That sounds good. Maybe we need to head along as the Detours crowd.
I think we should go.
Come on down.
On the dance floor.
We'll sell you some charity raffle tickets.
Yeah, I'm already a charity. We do charity stuff. You know, you should be donating to us.
We are a charity. Joy is a charity.
Now, that website, if you're interested in more information on Le Clay d'Or, and I'll spell it out, we'll have it up on our Facebook page and all the social networking, but it's all the W's, Le Clay d'Or, LESCLEFSDOR, Australia.org. So you can jump on there and have a look for more information. Well, I think that's very good advice, Peter, in terms of checking associations or networks' websites for positions, because sometimes the roles, you know, when you think about the cost of recruitment and, you know, it's often too costly or time-consuming to do those traditional methods, so you need to be networked.
Now, I thought we might grab one more little bit of music inspired by Peter McBrearty, because you're listening to Peter and Jonas LeSwef. Here on Joy 94.9 with Detours and Jodie and Greg. What do you reckon? Which track is this, Jodes?
This track is Finders and Keepers by Felicity Groom here on Joy 94.9.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9.
And this is Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by the gorgeous, gorgeous Pete Dillon from Cravings. How are you?
Oh, you flatter me far too much, young lady, you do. Hey, listen, there's going to be a cat among, well, cats amongst the pigeons or magpies at this afternoon at the Greyhound, with Gillian Clare doing their annual grand final broadcast. So I couldn't do anything on Cravings other than footy food. So we're looking at sausages, salves, pies, beer, a few footy songs. We'll try and cross into those girls, see if the technology's at least working, ready to go at 2 o'clock. It's going to be hilarious. We've got an hour of absolute nonsense that all involves fun footy food. So get your pies in the oven. You've got about 4 minutes.
Thanks very much, Pete. And Pete will be joining the program very soon after the news at 1 o'clock.
And that sound is Pete's seat leaving the chair. Hear that?
Now, we've got a few minutes before we finish up for today, but we've got Peter McBrighty and Jonas LeSwef joining us today from Le Clay d'Or. And so, you know, one thing is when you're in the industry helping everyone else have fun and holidays, what holiday plans do both of you have?
Oh, good question.
Thank you.
Well, I've just come back from Hong Kong last week, Hong Kong and China, and that's certainly a place I'd like to return to Hong Kong. It's pretty, it's a crazy place. I'd love to take my young family there. I think they would highly enjoy that's probably be confronted by some of the aspects of a different lifestyle. But
that's pretty good, Jonas. What about you, Peter?
I haven't been back to Europe for about 9 years, and I'm planning, I've booked my flights and now just told my boss that he needs to sign the approval for leave to spend 5 weeks over, just popping over to London to retrace my routes at the backpackers we used to run, and then up to Ireland to roughly retrace the tracks of one of my favourite writers, Pete McCarthy, or the late Pete McCarthy, who was a BBC travel journo who wrote a book I highly recommend called McCarthy's Bar.
Oh, fantastic. Terrific. McCarthy's Bar.
Well, perhaps after those trips you can come back and tell us a little bit more about those journeys, because we always love to hear people's stories. And in fact, if you've got a journey you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you, 0427JOY949, or perhaps you might like to play on the radio with us on air at joy.org.au. Just give us your contact details and we'll get in touch and we'll organise an interview.
Now, I've been Greg. You've been Jodie.
I still am.
And you are. It's a pleasure. And we'll be down at the Joy 94.9 Grand Final broadcast coming up at 2 o'clock from the Greyhound Hotel, which will be fabulous. I look forward to seeing you next week, Jodie.
I look forward to seeing you as well, Greg.
And thanks, gents, for joining us today from Le Clay d'Or.
Thanks for having us.
Indeed.
Great.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Stay tuned for the news coming up and then Cravings here on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.